in church. How many of you used to play church? Let me see your hand. Yeah, some of you still play. And I remember, I go down Mount Calvary, that's where I belong. And I jump and I shout and I come back home. But I was still disobedient. I would talk back. And one day,
the mighty CKUT 90.3 FM. Let's get it.
The Morning Detour on CKUT 90.3 FM.
I think as human beings, everybody has a natural gift and a natural passion, but then you go outside and you get influenced and you feel pressure from what's going on outside. And so, you know, I read one time, like, would you rather be at war with yourself and at peace with the world, or at peace with yourself and at war with the world? And that was powerful for me. You know what I'm saying?
The killer was the victim. And man was God.
My nose wide as a red sheet. Lips full of fillers, don't feel me. Soon as my cousin killer's on trial. Whoa. Family gon' pull up sitting courtside. God said, they say, we singing la la la. Don't want no vultures on our side, yeah, yeah. Looking black is the Messiah, yeah. Ay, 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 ay. We got superpowers, ay, 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 ay. We got superpowers, ay. And my people cannot forget that. We got superpowers. We got superpowers.
Now leave me alone, but we in Miami, we stay at the Mondrian. We pull up to live in the colony. Bucking one to the party, the after parties, after party, the party again. Holy any man, in my room is where the party began. They take a fight to board, boy, it's time to catch a tan. Look, it's a feel my that shit is stuck up in the jam. Feel my I can show you how to vibe, but I can't be a man. Yeah, 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 yeah
pop.
I play with the chicken, it's blue. Blue, we mobbed and tied, no shoe.
Tied.
You play with the crew, we gon' shoot.
Shoot.
Me and Dio, I'm in Prada.
Prada.
We rich, we came from the bottom.
Rich.
I'm amigo, I feel like a doctor.
Me
going surgical with the new chopper.
Yeah. 500,000 on me, flex mode. We got all the work, we make your trap close.
Trap.
Gang having loyalty, we 10 toes. Nah, nobody giving up, why with the gang for?
We outside, we toting them bangers, we not shooting at strangers.
We outside.
Say what you wanna say, long as it ain't us, come on, go hang you. Look at them young, going crazy, crazy, man, them too dangerous.
Crazy.
We gonna make them famous, the beautiful country got stars and bangles.
Superstar. We on Fridays. This how we kick off the show. This how we kick off the weekend.
The Morning Detour on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Yes, Montreal, it is another Friday. You know what, people? I want to buy all the Fridays. I want a Morning Detour to own all the Fridays. It's a shame we do not run from Monday to Friday, Lorena. I promise you, this is the number one morning show in the city. For the next 2 hours, we'll give you the best news, reviews, and interviews in the land. I am your host, Weezy Moonchaser, the Montreal Kobe Bryant. They know that I'm nice. They hate that it's me. I'm alongside super duper Lorena PR. What's going on, Queen?
Good morning. What's going on?
Boy, I love how you were sounding last week on that Good Friday, Sister Gabriel. Yeah. How's the youth group going? So
we're learning, we're growing.
As you can see, I'm getting back to the hip-hop. We're also the number one destination for the hot blazing R&B, hip-hop, and rap. I got back to the basics. You know, I kicked off with that Pop Smoke this morning, Lorena. But everything is right. There's a lot of news for us to cover. There's a lot of things going on. But I want to open up here on Friday. GOAT rapper DMX, he suffered a drug overdose on Friday, Lorena. And now, you know, the prognosis is not looking well. His children came by his bedside this week. They're saying he may be brain dead. And what's a shame about this, you know, first of all, our prayers goes out to him and his family. What's messed up about this is that I have DMX up there with Jay-Z, and everybody knows my affinity for Jay-Z. DMX and Jay-Z are GOATs, and a lot of people, if you know hip-hop, you know, way back in the day, there's a famous battle between Jay-Z and DMX. There's no videos, because I think Dame Dash done took all the videos, but they must have rapped for like 3 hours. DMX is the only guy that could go toe-to-toe with Jay-Z. I know Nas is great. Nas is up there as well. But DMX, one of the few people to put out two platinum albums in 1 year. I have him up there with Jay-Z, and then I was thinking to myself, you know, that really got me in kind of a down mood. It's like, when you've worked your whole life to create something and to, you know, to boost up your brand and yourself, and you've done memorable things for the culture, and then you become brain dead and all those memories are erased. It's kind of like Benjamin Button. It's kind of like how I felt about Kobe. He worked so hard to accomplish all these things. I found he could enjoy his spoils of his war of finding the NBA, and then he couldn't enjoy it. You know what I mean? So that's how I kind of feel about DMX. I feel so sad about it. How do you kind of land on it, Lorena?
Well, definitely prayers out to DMX. It is a really sad situation that's happening. But then you also have to look at the beautiful side, all the people that are outside his hotel playing his music, praying for him, balloons, everything, even the staff in the hospital really going hard for him. So even if he is not here physically, like, he hopefully senses the love and he sees how much of an impact he's had on our culture. But it is sad to see that when you're in a vegetable state, you have nothing there. But I'm hoping that on a spiritual level, he feels the love, he sees the impact, and I pray that a miracle happens and something turns around. So we'll see what the scans and the tests that they're doing on his brain. Hopefully we get some good news.
Yeah, man, I just hope he bounced back, man. So we're talking about DMX suffered a drug overdose, and now he's partially brain dead. The prognosis ain't looking good. Also, over the weekend, it was Easter. It's the one holiday I really like. I don't know why, Lorena. I just go with my vibe. You know, whatever I feel inside of me, that's what I talk to. I'm a really big fan of Easter. I think my brother just made the best oxtail I've ever had. I'm gonna be quite honest with you. And that's saying a lot, because everybody knows I love my mom, Miss Thomas's oxtail. But I think my brother Fox might have put his foot into it. That sauce that Fox had on the oxtail, and it wasn't too hard against the bone. It wasn't too soft dropping off the bone. It was just right. Now, I know, Lorena, you're a big fan of Oxtail. So I got to bring you over some. Fox was doing his thing, man. Shout out to my brother Fox, man. The Oxtail was right. But it felt good to be around family, especially, you know, us dealing with this pandemic and this COVID situation. And that, you know, all our interactions with our loved ones are somewhat limited. The moments that we do get to share with our loved ones, even though some of us are not big on family, you feel the appreciation a little bit more now. Now that certain liberties have been taken away from you, right, Lorena? You feel good. I feel good being around family. And I'm not one of the biggest family person there is. I'm a workaholic. But, man, it felt good to be around my family, my godfather, my godmother, and so forth, my sister-in-law, Aunt Dean, and it felt good. And the food was great. What did you do for your Easter?
We didn't do anything too big this year because we can't all be together. Mm-hmm. So my family is kind of big. It's bigger than the amount that you could be around.
Why is your family so big? Why can't you have a small family? I want to let Montreal know right now. I'm going to put her on the spot. Lorena's family makes the best sweet potato pie in the country. Let me put it out there. Is that the Scotian in you a little bit, the sweet potato pie?
That's all Scotian. All Scotian people make sweet potato pie.
I still can't even get a bottle of White Shark from Lorena, but that's neither here or there. But why is your family so big?
I don't have a bottle of White Shark, but I don't know. We come from a big family. We usually spend these holidays together. This year, we just had my grandmother over because she lives alone. So just to make sure that she is not by herself for the holidays. But we just kept it small. We didn't do a big dinner this year either. Just kept it small. That's it.
Okay. You know, before we used to look forward to summer, I don't feel that vibe this year. There's nothing to look forward to. I have a curfew. I got to wear a mask everywhere. I can barely breathe in this mask thing. What's going on? Are people in Montreal, you know, those of you listening to your car, getting ready for work, you know, you guys are in line for your $18 billion Starbucks coffee. Are you guys looking forward to summer? The weather is looking beautiful. I went out to this region of Quebec. It's kind of like the Midwest. I went out hiking on Friday with my partner. I said to myself, you know, Lena, let me go into the outdoors. You can smell the difference when you get out into the outer regions. I'm like, oh, this is what fresh air smells like, right? So I thought my Nike ACG boots was good enough. It's all climate gear. So, okay, this is good enough to go on the pass. So I called ahead, and the lady said there's a little bit of ice on the terrain. So I'm there thinking, okay, there's a little bit of ice on the terrain, but nothing too deep. You know, we're in April, nothing too deep. Let me tell you something, Lorena. Let me tell you something I got there. I'm going to post the videos on my social media. The whole path was just a thick block of ice. And then you have to go up. You're going to see videos of me holding on to trees, slipping. And if you fall, you fall right into the river right below. So we hiked for about 5 minutes, and then we're like, you know what? I'm not going to risk me and my partner's life, so we turn back. Now I do know I need to get hiking shoes. I need to get the claw grip, and I need to get the stick. But don't make fun of me, people, when y'all see me with the stick trying to make my way through the terrain.
Nike cannot solve all of your issues. Every time there's something, ooh, I got to go get the Nike. No, Nike is not always the best choice.
Nike does have a trailblazer shoe, though. It's called Nike Trailblazer. Okay, I want to talk about something that's going on in the city, boy. UCAM with the hypocrisy. So students respond to UCAM hypocrisy with racy pics of their own after the school sued a student for explicit social media posts. So a group of university students of Quebec de Montréal are calling hypocrisy after the university made moves to sue a student for posting suggested photos of herself on social media with the school's logo. You can't use the school logo, apparently, Lorena. Even if you graduated, you can't use the school logo for your OnlyFans. So PhD students Cato Fortin and Stephanie Roussel began a reaction campaign by posting pictures of themselves in lingerie with UCAM's logo and their degrees in the images along with the hashtag Papa UCAM. Father UCAM, the watchdog, Lorena. In support of Helene Boudreau, the student being sued, Boudreau operates a OnlyFans account, a website where users create adult content for subscribers. She allegedly has used the UCAM imagery in the account. Now, Lorena, it prompted me to a question here. Should your employer be allowed to use your social media presence against you? Because looking at it this way, if I totally agree, if you're online, if you're on your social media, and you're using it to disparage a group of people, you have racial slurs, you have violent intent towards a group of people or someone in particular, I totally agree, employers should use that, race you up, fire you, cancel you, however the case may be. But it is a person's individual social media, right? Like, you should be allowed to post whatever you want within reason. No. Now employers are using that. I told y'all they're going to police the internet at some point, right?
Well, they've been policing the internet. It's something that I was told, like, many, many years ago when I was taking social media classes, right, that your employer, if they, at that point, they weren't even telling you, but they were searching you up on Facebook. Facebook was like the number one thing we all were at that time. They were looking you up on Facebook, Instagram, they were looking you up, Twitter, they were looking at your tweets. So it's very important to clear those things. And also remember too, like, a lot of times we think we're going to delete something or something disappears within 24 hours. That's it. But I mean, those things stay stuck there in some type of program or something somewhere. So
it's in the cloud, Lorena. It's called the cloud.
Exactly. But it's really important to really think before you post, or maybe have your account private. But then again, there's people that can leak your stuff too, depending on who's following you. So be really careful about what you post, because yes, your employers are looking at those things, and then they have a certain, they want to upheld a certain look, a certain thing to their company. So yeah.
No, we're gonna talk about look a little bit. I remember when I worked for Nike, in your employee contract, it stipulated you got to watch, you know, you couldn't disparage a Nike shoe on Twitter or on social media. So I think employers should start to put that in the contract. When you employ people, put that in the contract. So it's above board for everybody. I do think it's an over level of policing. People should be allowed to post whatever they want to post. It is called social media. It is up there for us to be social. We want to then express ourselves the way we want to do it. But within reason, as I said at the top of the monologue, was that if you're out there doing racial slurs or attacking different groups of people or trying to say I'm going to attack someone, then that's gone too far. Another instance of social media and an employer's calling the plug. Look what they did to Paul Pierce. Mm-hmm. ESPN fired Paul Pierce. Now, I saw the video last week. So now, if you guys are not abreast of the situation, Paul Pierce was viewed in a video at a poker game. He had some nice girls dancing in the back. He was smoking a blunt, even though weed is legal in the state of New York now. ESPN, who at the time was employing Paul Pierce as a sports analyst, they fired him. You know, ESPN, the parent company, is Disney, family, Disney, right? So they fired him over that. And they said, had he not posted the video, had someone else posted the video, it would have been they're saying they wouldn't have fired him. But because he went on and posted the video himself, they had to let him go. I could see that not lining up with Disney's values. Yeah. But Paul Pierce didn't show nothing that the Grammys aren't showing. You know, they just had a WAP performances a couple weeks ago. So, like, We're gonna police some things. Some things we're not gonna police. What did he really do wrong? He had girls in the back.
I didn't find the video to be that bad for him to get fired. I could understand if they gave him some type of warning,
right,
or they suspended him for like a week or whatever. Like that, I would have been like, oh, okay. And so then now he knows that, okay, I can't post this type of stuff to my social media. And he could decide at that point, do you want to stay somewhere like that where you're limited to what you could post? Or do you want to go somewhere else that will allow you to post whatever you feel? I don't know. I didn't find it to be a big deal for him to be fired.
The world's a crazy place. They're trying to police everything. And they get to a point, nobody's going to want to go on social media anymore, Lorena. Because everything you say, the people in the screenshot, they give to your boss, make you lose your job. And you know, I'm going to be the first one on the chopping block, right? They're going to pull up all my stuff, running with wolves, more than Detour. Everything's going to be pulled up. But much of my city, we have an amazing show. We have a great guest. We have Selena Cesar Chavanez. She's the former MP of Whitby Riding. She's the former parliamentary secretary to the Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau. She had some very, very interesting insights on her interactions with Trudeau. She's the author of a book called Can You Hear Me Now? And trust me, let me tell you this, people. I'm listening. She's the first black woman to really ascend those walls, you know, after Jean Augustine and the likes. She worked intimately with Trudeau. You know, me and her, we sat down. And boy, she let it fly. She let it fly. When love is no longer being served at the table, Lorena, you got to know when to go. So we spoke about her book. We spoke about politics, parliament, the prime minister. And of course, you know, knowing when to leave the table. So really, really dope interview coming up later on in the show. And of course, I got some of the new music, man. I'm going to kick off with this new Child of Mahalia, Awake. Ah!
Yes.
I've been playing that all morning. You already know it's the Morning Detour. It's the Mighty CKT 90.3 FM. We got on Fridays. I just don't know. This a whole vibe. It's Friday morning.
In the bedroom, play that away.
The Mighty. Mighty CKUT 90.3 FM. DJ Moon 1.
One night could feel like 4 days.
If you don't feel good after this song, I don't know. Mahalia.
Time slows down when you pull up to the venue. Michelin star crib and my body's on the menu. VIP treatment, giving you the chef special. Cause I still get butterflies daily, like the first day that I met you.
Hold on, Montreal. They don't give you vibes like this on a Friday morning. They don't pull on the heartstrings the way we do. DJ Moon 1, we on Fridays.
Keep me in the bedroom, baby, always.
The Morning Detour on CKUT 90.3 FM.
One night could feel like 4 days. Keep me in the bedroom, baby, always.
Time slows down when you pull up to the bed.
CKUT 90.3 FM.
I book myself tables at all the best restaurants they need alone. I buy myself fast cars just so I can drive them real fucking slow. I like my own company, company. Good on my own. I've always been told one day I'll find somebody who changes my mind. If they come along, I won't think twice. Cause I already got a good thing with me. Yeah, I already got everything I need. The best things in life are already mine. Don't tell me that you got a good thing.
It's the Morning Detour. How many vibes can we put in one morning show? I just don't know. Yeah.
I wanna bathe in your light.
You just wanna travel somewhere. I just wanna take a plane, baby.
Oh, sunshine. If you throw it in the air, I couldn't help but stare. Yeah, cause I wanna know.
how deep we can go. Cause I feel your energy warming. I'm finding a peace when I'm sunbathing.
Welcome back, Montreal's The Morning Detour, your premier morning show in the city. Now it's about that time for us to do some news. A lot of things are going on, Lorena. So obviously, a lot of it is COVID-related. So bear with me, people. So the federal government announced $350 million fund for charities hurt by COVID-19 pandemic. $350 million, Lorena. I don't know where we keep coming up with all this money from. Was Trudeau hiding all this in barrels in Manitoba? What's going on?
I don't know, but before the pandemic, all I heard was debt, debt, and debt.
We couldn't find money for teachers. We couldn't find money for the nurses. COVID happens. All this barrel of money is coming from everywhere. So Canada's charities are getting a $350 million injection of federal funding while they deal with growing revenue gaps related to COVID-19. As the federal government considers a request for billions more to help community groups seeing a surge in demand for their services. They still want billions, Lorena. It's not enough. $350 million is not enough. So much of the money will flow through three national groups. I want to get your vibe about these three national groups. So these are the three national groups that this $350 million is going to flow through. You have the United Way. Haven't heard from them in a minute. You have the Red Cross, always mixed up in some kind of scandal. And the Community Foundations of Canada, with a portion of funds going to small, independent organizations. So the money will be used for, among other things, training volunteers, transportation for vulnerable people, and home delivery of groceries and other services like tax filing clinics for low-income earners so they can receive benefits. So how do you feel about that, Lorena? I think it's going to be a mess.
It's a mess, and I don't like how they put it to the side. A portion of funds are going to the small independent organizations. I don't like that.
I totally agree with you. Can we start naming these organizations? Stop making them fill out forms. You know, as a government, who are the organizations that are actually taking the money? Because you have to show, when you get the money, you have to show the government how you used it, right? You know, over a course of time, which organizations have usefully used the money for what they said they're going to use it for. Why do you have to keep making them reapply for that, for the same money?
I think a lot of them lie, though.
Well, listen, I ain't gonna point no fingers, you know. We got some perpetrators among us in the community.
Exactly.
So, listen, let's talk about the CERB a little bit. Payments through the CERB reached $19.8 billion as of April 19 to more than 6 million people from a program budgeted at $24 billion. So, boy, we're starting to run out of CERB money eventually. We're at 19.8. We had a top-off gap of $24 billion. So last week, Finance Minister Morneau told the House of Commons Finance Committee the government believed the CERB should go to people who have lost their income rather than turning it into a minimum income program. That is a good point. This should be, you know what I'm saying, let me break the glass. This should be an emergency measure and not another form of welfare. But at the same time, too, Mr. Morneau, it's in line with COVID. You know what I mean? As long as people are going to be laid off, as long as people are going to be furloughed and not able to generate income the way they were generating income, people are going to need the CERB stimulus. And in the States, it's the only time we see them ever talk about the White House now. Only thing Americans care about is their stimulus check. So that's what's going on over there. I'm here to stay alive, Lorena. Montrealers over 55 line up for AstraZeneca's COVID-19 vaccine. So the government is now permitting walk-ins at mass vaccination sites across Quebec for those aged 55 and older wanting to get the shot. So Quebec has hit a pause on administering the AstraZeneca vaccine to anyone 55 and younger amid guidance from the National Advisory Committee on Immunization about a possible link between the shot and rare blood clots. However, officials have said that no thrombosis-like events related to the vaccine have been reported in Quebec. The measure is preventive. How you feel about that, Lorena? You still want to get the AstraZeneca one?
Why do you say it like that?
No, because they keep telling us, well, not done with, you know, the amount of people that got the blood clots is not proportional to the large amount of people that got it. I got it. But people are still getting blood clots.
Yeah, I'm still waiting it out. But I mean, it's a person's personal choice. People are lining up to get it. I did see that on the news, but, yeah, it's your choice. I personally, I'm just going to wait a little bit longer.
So let me quote, one of our Montrealers that are 55 and above. He says, do it for yourself. Do it for your community. Don't be afraid. It's government approved. How much faith do you have in the government, Montreal? How much faith do you have in these vaccines? A lot. We saw last week Johnson & Johnson is speeding up this vaccine. Everybody's trying to push it out through the door without making sure the proper regulations, without making sure the proper testing is done before they administer to people. I'm a little bit scared that we're using the fast food model for this vaccine because, one, the public is getting frustrated. Two, the government has to run out of CERB money eventually. I'm getting scared that we're having a kind of like a fast food kind of reaction to this vaccine thing.
That's very true. But people are doing this also, too, based on fear. There's a lot of fear that's being instilled in us. A lot of us are frustrated and we want to be around each other. So we'll see what happens.
I got some good news. You forgot we have a mayor here. She's named Valerie Plante. So if you're an essential worker in Montreal, Mayor Valerie Plante recently said that you will soon be able to book your first COVID-19 vaccine appointment if you didn't qualify before. So that's good news for essential workers and those that are critically ill. They're pushing this shot hard, though. They're pushing this shot hard. So Montreal is bracing for the third wave as COVID-19 cases linked to the variants increase in the city. How many waves are there to this COVID-19? So I can mentally prepare myself. I know I'm not the only one. Should I have got a surfboard, Lorena? I don't know.
I don't even know what to say. I really don't.
So the Quebec government announced new COVID-19 restrictions on Tuesday for the province's red and orange zones aimed at curbing the spread of cases linked to the variant. So the new measures coming into effect in Montreal include the closures of gyms, quelle surprise, the return to hybrid learning for high school students in grade 9, 10, and 11, and reducing the maximum capacity in places of worship to 25 people. I can't worship with just 25 people. I need, you know what I'm saying? I need 100 people, Lorena. I should have been a teacher. I should have been a pastor, Lorena. I don't know. I need more than 25 people in my place of worship, but we do have to be safe. Yeah. So Montreal's top doctor says that while the situation has been stable in the city, I don't know what that means, doctor. You're telling me it's stable, but every week I come up here and the numbers are going up. Their variant is like this. All these cases at the gym. What is stable? Can we define some of these terminology a little bit in the press conference? Because we're doing it every other day now.
So, I feel like you're asking too many questions.
I am definitely asking too many questions. So unlike other regions of the province where the third wave has taken hold, the rise in the variants is a concern. So I quote, variants now make up 42% of new cases, says Dr. Mylène Drouin during a press conference on Wednesday. What we've seen in other places, other countries, is that often when you hit 40 to 50%, you see an acceleration of new cases. So a storm is brewing, Lorena. We're at 42%. Who is this variant? Why? There are currently 142 outbreaks linked to the variant first discovered in the UK, but Drouin said they are small, with the majority made up less than 10 cases. Over the last 3 weeks, Montreal has seen a slight upward trend in the number of new cases, but that is expected to change the next few days. They're saying a whole lot. To me, it seems like they're dancing around in a circle, Lorena. What's your take on it? Are you scared of the variant? Apparently, it's hitting a lot of young people. We're young still.
Thank you for confirming that.
Well, you're going to be forever young. You look the same way you look back in 97. You forever.
But I don't know. With these, it's really confusing. I'm not totally clear on all these different variants either. And then I'm also confused, like, do we take this vaccine and then we're going to have to take others for the variant too? So are we taking like 6 different vaccines?
I think I'm a drug addict. I'm taking all these needles, Lorena. How many needles are you trying to give the public, Mr. Madame Drouin?
Yeah, so I'm a bit confused. So I don't really have that much to say on this right now.
So if it wasn't enough, we're dealing with a pandemic. If it wasn't enough, we're dealing with a rise of domestic violence across the country. If it wasn't enough, people are losing their jobs. If it wasn't enough, entrepreneurs cannot get their business off the ground because it's hard to generate new income during a pandemic. It's taking a toll on international students as well, Lorena. So the pandemic takes tragic toll on international students with rising debts by suicide, according to Global News. What is going on? More and more, Lorena. I'm looking at the good book. I'm looking at what's going on in the world. It's looking like the end of days here, boy. Looking at the end of days. Please find your faith. So international students are being pushed to the brink during the COVID-19 pandemic, and the mounting pressures have led to a rise in death by suicide cases across Canada, according to a report by the nonprofit One Voice Canada. It's a culture shock. They come into Canada. It's a whole different system. The social aspect, the education system is different. One Voice Canada co-founder and director Agri Hotri, immigration consultant in Surrey, told Global News. Usually, the international students coming into Canada do not have support. Some of them do, some of them don't. So the report highlights what is called a disturbing trend of debt by suicide across Canada due to a number of factors, including rampant fraud and corruption in the student recruitment industry, high tuition fees, and an underground economy where students are working illegally and being taken advantage of by employers. Did you know all these things are going on? Students are working illegally. There's a recruitment industry.
The illegal, unfortunately, I knew about the illegal working stuff that I did know about. But then it's sad to know about this and what's happening with the international students. Because like I said with my friend, like a lot of us were thinking about us and our immediate family throughout this whole time, but we're not thinking about what other people might be going through.
Right.
And it's true with international students. Like you're in a whole different world when you come here. And then also too, like, it's not the same as before. Like, you're not really joining groups and you're not really out there at like the bars and stuff, and you're not meeting people. You're not creating your like your new tribe of people to lean on. So yeah, this is a really difficult time.
It does feel a bit overwhelming. You have people dealing with mental health. You have people that are being abused. You have women dying all over the country. You have people losing their jobs. And then you have the international students with a rise in suicide. I'm trampling myself in the government's shoes. How could they even wrap their head around this? And I say this to say, I feel like the international students that feel they're being pushed to the brink, their plight is going to be marginalized. It's going to kind of fall through the cracks with all these other issues happening all at the same time.
No, definitely. But I think that's where like community comes in. I think we need to be a better community with each other.
Yeah, we're going to make a point. You know, we're going to try to reach out to some groups to see what kind of groups are out there putting together hotlines or just initiatives to help these international students feel less lonely, feel more part of the structure, which is Quebec. So we'll take a note of that on the Morning Detour. Ontario, boy, our cousin over there in Ontario. Ontario is issuing a stay-at-home order. Lockdown in Ontario, people, declares a third state of emergency amid COVID-19 pandemic. So the Ontario government has declared the province's third state of emergency amid the COVID-19 pandemic and is issuing a province-wide stay-at-home order effective on Thursday, 12:01 a.m. I love how the government is so defined, like 12:01. Just say, starting Friday morning, we all locked down. That always got to be so technical. So the order will remain in effect for 4 weeks. An official says it means residents must stay home except for essential reasons, including going grocery shopping, to pick up prescription medication, accessing healthcare, and going to work when it cannot be done remotely, and exercising at home or close to home. I love the Premier Ford. He goes, we just need to hunker down right now. We need to limit mobility. I wish we had him as our premier. I love Ford. He goes, I know this is tough on businesses, but I promise we will continue to have your backs. But the CERB money's running out here, people. The CERB money's running out here, man. So the government is limiting most non-essential retail businesses to curbside pickup only. Schools And childcare will stay open for in-person operations other than in areas where local medical officers have ordered their closures. For those that don't know, Ontario administered a record 104,000 plus vaccines on Tuesday, and Ford said 128,000 appointments were booked for Wednesday. The fast food of vaccine, Lorena. Everybody's rushing to get it. I'm like, does this one cover the variant? And no one seemed to have a clear answer on that. And this bothers me. The lack of clarity.
I still have a lot of questions when it comes to the vaccine as well. And if, let's say we all get vaccinated, but we could still potentially catch it because it's like the flu, right?
Right. Yes, like the flu.
So are we still have to stay like far apart from each other? Do we still have to wear a mask? Is that going to be just a new normal where for the rest of our lives? Like,
I don't like the mask. It's covering my face. And I finally got pretty and now I got to cover my face. This is horrible. We need to bring Dr. Upton back on the show, Lorena. We need to book him again. We need to follow up. I need to understand this variant a little bit better. Now, Quebec is now making medical grade masks mandatory in all workplaces. What took so long? We were just talking about that last week. What took so long? So the new rule will be implemented as of April 8th. While wearing masks in enclosed public places has been mandatory since last year in Quebec, wearing a medical grade mask has only been a suggestion for people that work in public setting and not a hard rule. So now the CNESST has now changed that rule. So however, according to a press release, the prevalence of new variants is now worrying and the SNESST invites workplaces to be extremely cautious. Oh boy, Lorena, I'm getting that professional grade mask now, Lorena. So for those who work outdoors, the same measures apply if workers will be in situations where they are less than 2 meters apart. So that's a good look. How do you feel about that? Medical grade mask mandatory in all workplaces.
I think it's probably a good thing because look what happened with the whole situation with the gym. And then a lot of the workplaces got infected with COVID and that's how the numbers started to grow. The only thing is, it is hard to wear a mask for a long periods of time.
Talk about it.
So I know that will be an issue. So we'll see how it goes, but I do understand it. I'm just hoping, like I said before, it's not a new normal where we have to wear a mask all day, every day in our lives. I think that would be really difficult.
Well, in sad news, Legault isn't excluding the possibility of moving red zone curfew back to 8 p.m. Well, I guess it'll make a big difference, but okay. So at a Tuesday press conference, Premier Alphonse Legault assured red zone residents that curfew will stay at 9:30 p.m. at least for now. He goes, "We will not hesitate. If there's an increase, for example, in the number of cases in the coming days in Montreal, we're going to put the curfew back to 8 p.m., said the Premier.
What's the difference?
You're asking what's the difference. I'm trying to figure out to myself, since the whole curfew thing began, how effective has this thing been and how do they measure that? How do they measure how effective the curfew is? And then the fall will be like, okay, so pushing it back a time, would that stop the curve from more people getting it? Like, explain that aspect to me, François Legault, in your press conference every other day. Why can't we get that kind of clarity from it?
Yeah, I don't see what the difference of an hour and a half makes. Like,
I don't know, man. Whoever, we need to see these tables. Gotta be like, who's coming up with this? And then they'll push us back to the end of the table like they tried to do to Selena. It's crazy. Did you see this, though? A viral video shows a Quebecer shipping a giant dildo to François Legault. This is crazy. Now, I'm sure François Legault has received many a plethora of gifts through his tenure as our premier. But this person shipped him a giant dildo, and it included a letter. And they filmed themselves. And on TikTok, the viral video has now gained over 69,000 views. So let me think, Lorena. What a gift to begin with. If you were to send a gift to François Legault, Lorena, what would it be?
I wouldn't send him anything.
Why not?
That's a waste of money. In my opinion, I'm not sending him nothing.
But you know me, being the faithful Haitian that I am, I'll send him a nice plate of griot. You know what I mean? Try and get a... Let's open back the bars and business up a little bit, you know? Let the gyms fly a little bit, you know what I mean?
But you know what's going to happen? He's going to eat that griot and he's going to be like, okay, curfew at 8. Nothing.
Speaking of food... When I used to live alone, you know, Lorena used to come over and she's always killing me for not cooking. But one thing I was infamous for, my order game is right. my order game is right. I can order a pizza faster than Sonic the Hedgehog. I can promise you that. So now Quebec is getting its first ever Pizza Week. Pizza Week Festival. And it's going to get cheesy. You got to love MTL Blog with their headlines. So from the organizers of La Poutine Week and Le Burger Week, the very first La Pizza Week is happening here this spring. Thank God. We needed something to cheer for. So La Pizza Week, presented by Saputa, will take place across the country from May 1st to May 7th as hundreds of restaurants prepare unique pizza creations. So just like La Poutine Week 2021, the food fest will happen mostly from the comfort of home. La Pizza Week has teamed up with Skip the Dishes so Quebecers can order local restaurants special creations for delivery or takeout, when then vote for their favorite online, an innovative way to support restaurants. So through Skip the Dishes, you'll be able to order these fascinating creations of pizzas, and then you'll be able to vote online for the ones that you like. Participating restaurants are expected to be announced in the coming weeks. Are you excited about that, Larina? Skip the Dishes from the comfort of your home, a special pizza?
Well, I think all of those weeks are pretty cool. I participated in both Poutine Week and Burger Week before. So I think it's cool. And I think Pizza Week is great. I remember I went to Atlanta and I went to like this pizza place, and it's like a gourmet pizza. So you could get like mac and cheese pizza or like sweet potato pie pizza. Like they had like all these different things. So I think it's going to be cool to see what our restaurants come up with.
What's the craziest pizza you've enjoyed? Like, are you one of those people like, I know before back in like in the late 90s, it'd be like, oh my gosh, you're going to throw pineapples on your pizza? Like that Hawaiian joint was crazy. Nope. But now with all these food shows, and all everyone's a cook, all this. What's beautiful about cooking now, everyone, the mindset, the creations, all the intuitive things that are going on. I have trouble getting that joint out this morning. But what's the craziest pizza, or do you have a crazy pizza idea in your mind?
I don't have a crazy pizza idea in my mind, but I think I can't even remember what it is. But when I went to that place in Atlanta, those pizzas that I had were pretty different. I've never had those different type of toppings on a pizza before.
You seem to me like a thin crust lover. I don't like people that like thin crust. I like a deep crust. Are you a thin crust lover?
No.
Because I don't put nothing crazy on my pizza. You know, I love meat. I'm a carnivore. So give me the more meat, the better. So that's the way I get down. But still sticking with the pizza, you can now get a deck of Uno cards with your pizza candle order, and it's perfect for game night. But it's only for a limited time. So Pizza has teamed up with Uno to create a limited edition deck of cards, which might just be the perfect combo for a laid-back evening with a few of your favorite people. So the new Uno combo comes with a large three-topping pizza, three drinks, and a deck of Uno cards for $59.99. Though pricing may vary slightly by region. So Pizza doing their thing. But I'll say one thing about Pizza. When they first came, the pizza was blessed. And then they changed something with that tomato paste. I can't rate Pizza like that. But for those people that like Pizza, you can now get a deck of Uno combo cards with it. And three topping pizzas, three jinks, and a deck of Uno. Things is popping. Lumina, are you a Pizza fan?
No, and I think that's why they have that, because they need help.
They need some incentives? Well, yeah. I don't know what you're talking about. I've always seen a line at the Pizza in my neighborhood. People stay rushing to Pizza, but things is happening, man. So that's the roundup I had for the news, locally and internationally. Let's play some more dope music, man. It's the Morning Detour. Montreal, my city, make sure to vote for the Morning Detour. Best morning show in the city called Montreal.
The Morning Detour. On CKUT 90.3 FM.
That's how you hold me down. My little pretty sniper, that's how you hold me down.
Holding you down, holding you down. Yeah. Promise me you never change, stand true, you my wifey. You know I'ma have you icy. You ain't gonna find another one, can't find nobody like me. Keep it in exclusive, don't be caught up in these games. Don't worry about these groupies, don't worry, just money and fame. I'm standing on my word, ain't no need for playing games.
I said it, I mean it, I'll never leave you. Girl, I need you. Bonnie and Clyde, yeah, we the sequel. You my equal, ride or die. And the shit we done been through might leave you traumatized. Change your lifestyle so you don't look back. Said you working for a Birkin, so you always in your bag.
When the summer go, hit another coast, G5 on the land. Cancun for the winner, made back on the sprinter. When you think I'm with a hoe, you say you hate me forever. But you keep me on my toes, for sure you making me better. And your VVs is in 3D, enhancing your bezel. Wanna leave me, it ain't easy, but we keep it together. You hold me down when I need you to. But I need you by my side, and you need me too.
Holding you down, holding you down. Promise me never change, yeah. Stand true, you my wifey. You know I'ma have you icy. You ain't gonna find another one, can't find nobody like me. Keep it in exclusive, don't be caught up in these games. Poker red by these groupies, come with the money and fame. I'm keeping my word, ain't no need to play a game.
From the moment I met you, know you was the one. Anytime I need you, had you showing up. Satisfy your every need, you know that feeling. Fly you out Miami Beach, we ocean sailing. You hold me down when I need you to. But I need you by my side, and you need me too. Keeping it exclusive, how you hold me down. Just keep it 100 when you come around.
You got one job and one job only, that's keeping it exclusive. You got one job, that's one job only, and that's keeping it exclusive. That's what keeping it exclusive. You got one job, that's one job only, that's keeping it exclusive. One job only.
The Morning Detour on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Mi lade, but you got it now, go party. Mi lori, but you got it now, go shady nation. Baby, money, moko, feto, wobo. Maybe I want to get to know your mama. My lady, your body is unnecessary. My lady, your body is unnecessary. Your body is unnecessary. My lady, your body is unnecessary.
See, fine lady, your body is unnecessary. I'm ready. Anything that you want, I'm ready. Oh, yeah, link up. Fire girl, oh, supposed to give me party non-stop. One more tonjo, and one more tonjo. Spend the money non-stop. Fine lady, your body is unnecessary. Fine lady, your body is unnecessary. Sorry, fine lady, your body is unnecessary.
Com amigos não quero te encontrar. Sinto uma água no peito e não quero pensar. Ar, respirar, novo ar. Eu não fui player, mas hoje eu sou. Parece que não és a última do pacote. Hoje eu vou fazer sentir meu nome. E levar pra casa a moça mais fofa. Você é cerveja como ela. Quer brincar com a estrela. As bonitas donzela. Mas já vivi essa pele. Venhas aqui pedir desculpa. Eu tô fine, eu tô fine. Se tô assim é culpa tua. Eu tô fine, eu tô fine. Quer brincar com a estrela. As bonitas donzela. Mas já vivi essa pele. Venhas aqui pedir desculpa. Eu tô fine, eu tô fine. Se tô assim é culpa tua. Eu tô fã, brincar com a estrela. És bonita, és donzela. Mas já vivi essa peça.
Bate, bate, bate.
Listen, if you like the vibes, you love the show. Make sure you vote the Morning Detour. Best morning show in the city. How much are y'all?
Give me love, give me desire. Only you give me feel.
da costela. Mas tu sabes quem eu sou. Everywhere we go, all these ladies want to fuck. Não posso te dar meu amor. I cannot give you my love, oh chérie. You be breaking my heart, me a Mona Lisa. Used to give you my love, ink my diva. É você, tá brinca, tá brinca. Vou bazar. É você, tá brinca, tá brinca. Vou bazar. Bati, 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 bato. Bati, bati, olita. Bati, coti, ofito. Bati, tito, finolita.
Mas hoje eu sou. Já vês que não és a última do pacote. Hoje eu vou fazer sentir meu nome. E leva pra casa a moça mais fofa. Você se fez como ela. Quer brincar?
The Morning Detour on CKUT 90.3 FM.
The alert level in your region or a neighboring region is red. To curb the spread of COVID-19, gatherings with family and friends in private homes and yards are prohibited. Travel between regions should be avoided. It is forbidden to leave your home between 9:30 p.m. and 5 a.m. Visit quebec.ca/coronavirus to learn more about other measures in place to fight COVID-19. Follow all the rules, all the time, no exceptions. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
Yo, this is the boy King Shad Rock, and I wanted to check out the brand new album called Phoenix Rising. See? The 23rd of April. Brand new album, Phoenix Rising. Check it out, my album, 2021. Yo, stream it, buy it, download it, check it out. Phoenix Rising. My thing.
Morning Detour on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Yes, Montreal, my city's The Morning Detour. Your host, Weezy Moon Chaser. Now, this Friday, you have to know when you have to kiss the ring. You have to know when royalty is in the building. I am so excited this Friday. She is a black businesswoman. In 2015, she became the first black person elected to represent the federal riding of Whitby, Ontario. She's now an author as well. She has the book, Can You Hear Me Now? And listen, I'm trying to hear her. I know a lot of people in Montreal, they're trying to hear her too. We have the honorable, the esteemable, Selena Caesar Chavanez on the show. How you doing, queen?
I'm good. I didn't actually think you would use the whole honorable thing. You could just say Selena. I'm good with that.
Listen, you work hard to get where you need to get. You've done great things. I'm going to give you your flowers early. Now, I want to let Montreal know I've been waiting for this interview for a couple weeks now. A couple weeks away from this. You're really hot. I know you've done a lot of press. I know you've answered the same kind of questions. So I want you to have fun in the Morning Detour. It's the only black morning show in the city anyway. So let's get popping. Oh, man. Where to begin? So you have the book out now. Can You Hear Me Now? Let me tell you something. It's half memoirs. It's half leadership book. How do you feel about the book now that it's out, now that people are able to read it?
You know what? This book has had been received with such rave reviews. First week out, it debuts as number 4 on the national bestseller. People are saying that they're seeing themselves in their book. They see, like, people who I don't even expect to see themselves. I'm like, how are you seeing yourself in this book? Because I can't.
You don't look like us.
you're not a black woman, and you're far from it. But, you know, people are seeing themselves in the book because the book was written from a space of being authentic, pulling away the facade. Let's talk about our mistakes, our hurts, our pains, because people see the end result and they don't realize the blood, sweat, and tears that it takes to get to positions of success, however you define it. And that's what I put in pen to paper. And
listen, you had access to certain rooms that many of us did not get access to. So, listen, I'm going to pick your mouth this morning. We won't try to get into everything. So now, how long did it take you to write the book?
So, I mean, I would say it took me about a year, 2 years to write it. But the most intense part was in the last year before it was published. So 2019 was intense. 2019, 2020 to get it out there.
Well, listen, in your book, it stated that it's not your typical leadership book. Could you elaborate on that a little bit? Because, you know, when people write leadership books, they're telling you, okay, this is how you have to do it. This is how you have to imagine it. I felt like your book was a little bit different. It didn't follow that same kind of trajectory or blueprint for a leadership book.
No, it didn't. And I did that intentionally. I wanted people to understand, like, when we think about our experiences, we tend to write leadership books based on, you know, the successes, the triumphs, all the great things that happen. But I wrote about the mistakes, the pains, the hurts, the guilts, because I want people to understand that you, when you add those two components together, the parts that we try to hide and are shameful, that adds value to us. That builds the resilience. That is the part that actually makes you able to advocate for people, or for me to advocate, because I don't want people to feel my pain. I don't want people to feel that hurt. I don't want people to have to go through those mistakes. So that's what I, that's how I wrote the book from that perspective.
Listen, man, if you can save us some of the trouble, some of the trepidations, we have to get down. The book is called Can You Hear Me Now? Now, Selena, coming from Grenada, and shout out to Grenada. You're one of the first Grenadian celebrities.
Shout out to Grenada, 473 Massive, yo.
So my people, we're from the Carenage. What part are you from?
We are St. David's Pomeroy, man. Come on now. We in country. You and the Carenage, you city people.
Yeah, from St. George's. I'm a big fan of nutmeg, but I love the country. Grenada's very, very beautiful. I've been there a multitude of times. Now, coming from Grenada, did you ever think that you'll ascend to the levels that you ascend? Did you ever envision yourself as a kid thinking, like, I'm going to be the first black person in the politics representing Whitby? Did you think that to yourself?
No, I never even thought about getting into politics until, like, a couple of years ago. Brother, I just showed up in politics.
So what? I know you have a background in business. So what did you originally want to be, you know, coming up? When you saw yourself as a teenager or as a young adult, what did you want to become?
I actually wanted to be a neurosurgeon. I wanted to be a medical doctor. I got that book, Ben Carson's Gifted Hands. I wanted to be like the female black Ben Carson, not the political version, the neurosurgeon version. And that's what I wanted to be. And, you know, I didn't end up doing well in university, ended up starting my own business, did really successful in that, and then pivoted to politics. You know what? I think the moral of the story is you got to be ready to like open yourself up to the universe. And when things come for you, just be prepared to walk in that door and take it.
Well, listen, Selena, it's easier said than done. Some people just, you know, they want to stay in their box. They don't want to do too much different things. But you can see when you open up yourself, great things can happen. Walk me through.